right now, the countdown to kickoff and Big Ten Media Days in Chicago continuing as we've reached the halfway point, almost the halfway point. Stop number six as we count down the days until the 23rd in our trip to Chicago. And we're going to check in on the team that is the prohibitive favorite once again in the Big Ten West, and that's the Wisconsin Badgers. Jeff Patricus with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Jeff, after 13-1 and an Orange Bowl win over Miami last year, how do they top that in Madison this fall?
Well, you know, we talked to the players in the spring, and they were very open about the fact that as good of a year as it was, first team to win 13 games in program history, they were still disappointed that they couldn't finish the deal in Indianapolis. Ohio State losing in a one-possession game, 27-21. You win that one, you're at worst four in the college football playoff final poll. Their goal to get into the playoff this year and try to win it all.
How good can this offense be? This team returns one of the best running backs in college football. The receiving core wasn't void of talent. Alex Hornibrook, another year under his belt. So many starters returning. How good can they be?
They expect to be better than they were a year ago. But you know, I always look at it as the 2010 and 11 offense both averaged, UW averaged more than 40 points per game. The 11-1 with Russell Wilson was at 44.6, still school record. I don't expect this offense to be that good. I don't think the offensive line, as good as they expect it to be, is going to be on the same level as those lines. But they've got talent and depth on the line. They've got an experienced quarterback. They're going to have their best in terms of quality and quantity wide receiver core than they've had in years. They should have some weapons at tight end, Jonathan Taylor. And there's a freshman tailback coming from Texas, Nakia Watson, who just might be the number two tailback by the time Big Ten play rolls around.
What can or what has Jonathan Taylor done to improve after finishing sixth in the Heisman voting last year?
You know, there were two things that they looked at in the offseason. One, he fumbled at a higher rate in the second half of the season than he did in the first half, and he wasn't really that much of a threat as a receiver. Now, based on what I saw in the spring, sometimes he catches the ball cleanly. Sometimes it's a little bit stiff. Doesn't look like to be a natural receiver. So I think the biggest area for him will be to cut down on the fumble and also be more of a factor around goal line situations, because they try to limit him, keep out goal situations as the year went on, just to kind of not give him too much to think about or wear him down a little bit. So if he can be a better, protect the ball better, and if you see him in there when it's first and goal, second goal, third and goal, then you'll know he's an improved back.
Wisconsin has had so many really good running backs in the past and different styles. They've had the thundering running backs like John Clay and Ron Dane, some of the scat backs and Monte Ball, and a guy like Melvin Gordon. How does Jonathan Taylor compare to some of the great Wisconsin running backs of the past?
You know, everyone talks about his speed, and he really improved his speed as a senior in high school, legitimate track guy. But the thing that I saw last year was he ran through a lot of tackles. I mean, he could make guys miss, and his speed once he got in the open field was outstanding, but he's stronger than I think a lot of defenders thought when they first faced him. And if you try to bring him out with an arm tackle, if you don't get a clean shot on him, he's going to run through you. And I'll be curious to see how many carries he has to have this year, if they can limit his carries, which might make him a little more effective later in the year.
Talking Badger football with Jeff Patricus from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Alex Hornibrook, third year as a starter in Madison, but has been turnover prone. Have they worked with him or come up with a solution on trying to cut down on the turnovers?
Yeah, the biggest thing last year when I looked at the interceptions, the majority of them were, you know what, Alex, you don't need to force the ball there. Live for the next down. He trusts his receivers and his arm in terms of accuracy. And you saw that in the Orange Bowl against Miami. But that can lead you into problems when you try to fit a ball into a window that maybe you shouldn't. And also the second thing for him is make sure your footwork is solid. Don't try to throw off your back foot if you're fading away. He had to do that a lot because of pressure by Ohio State's front in the Big Ten Championship game. And that really led to not only three interceptions, but just some errant throws that he would really like to have back if they had some guys open that they didn't hit.
You mentioned the wide receiving core, and Quintez Cephas was hurt right before the Iowa game last year. He returns A.J. Taylor, Danny Davis. I noticed last year that they had some guys that could go up and get it. How they're very young core. How much of a step forward do you think this unit can take in 2018?
You talk Cephas, A.J. Taylor, Danny Davis, and the fourth one would be Kendrick Pryor. The only guy who was healthy all year last year was A.J. Taylor. And I'm going to add a fifth guy that people – will know about Aaron Cruikshank. He's from New York State. He was an option quarterback in high school. He's small, but he is exceptionally fast and quick. They're going to get him the ball as a wide receiver and a returner this year. And it's going to be their deepest and most explosive wide receiver corner that I've had, or that they've had since I've been covering the team, and that's been since 1995. They got guys who can go deep, catch in traffic, run jet sweeps. I think that's going to really make Hornibrook and Jonathan Taylor more effective, because you're going to have to decide, try to stop Taylor and live with single coverage. If you do, they'll be able to beat most secondaries.
Offense looks good. Seven starters gone on the defensive side of the ball. What's keeping Jim Leonard awake at night as he's getting ready for another year as defensive coordinator in Madison?
That will be what determines the development of the defense is going to be whether this team makes the playoff or not. Not only do you have a lot of starters back, they lost up front one projected starter at end for the year with an Achilles injury during summer workouts. The other projected starter at end had to have knee surgery. I think he'll probably be ready by the time Big Ten play rolls around. But basically, you've got Olive Sagapolo up front at nose, and a bunch of guys, I could rattle out their names, and you wouldn't know who the hell I'm talking about. That's the biggest question mark there. And I don't think they're as explosive at outside linebacker this year as they've been in the past. I think they're a little thin there. So their front seven has to really develop and come on, and they have to find some playmakers, especially when they get into the meat of Big Ten play.
How big of a return is T.J. Edwards to that defense? Because I know he was contemplating going to the NFL draft, but he's returning for his senior season.
He has been, I don't want to say a pleasant surprise, because they weren't really sure what they knew, what they had in him when he came out of high school as a high school quarterback. But he is a every down linebacker, at least in college. I mean, if you remember the Iowa game last year, Iowa's best sustained drive came late in that game, and he had a heck of a pick on a crossing route to one of the tight ends, to Noah Fant. And the tight end was open. He made a drop in the coverage and made that play. He's good against the run. Because of his background as a quarterback, he's really good in coverage. He has a feel for where the ball is going to go, and he has a feel for getting into the way of the quarterback's throwing lane. He's one of the better linebackers they've had on the inside in quite some time.
You mentioned Olive Sagapolo, who became an internet YouTube sensation after doing a backflip on a beach at 337 pounds. What is he like as a run stuffer and also a pass rusher?
The funny thing is, he was able to do that at 350.
So
it was funny. Everyone was excited about it, but he's drop weight because he wants to be more of an every down guy. I'll be curious to see if they have him at end sometimes this year, if they can find a backup nose tackle. But he, in my opinion, his value sometimes is affected because of a nose tackle if they play teams that really like to spread it out. Because Jim Leonard will, comfortably go from a 3-4 look to a 2-4-5. And Sagapolo will play sometimes, but not a lot. So he's much more effective, for example, against a team like Iowa, where you can stay in your base more frequently than against some teams. I don't know if you guys remember, but he had that sack, almost the safety of Stanley, right near the goal line. And I think Iowa eventually punted, and that led to a score for Wisconsin. So he's got to have his best ball at Wisconsin as a senior this year, especially given the injuries up front.
You mentioned Jim Leonard, and that is a name that has really risen quickly through the coaching rankings. He's in his second year as a defensive coordinator after just a brief stint as a position coach. Is he a name that you're already starting to hear rumblings about being possibly a head coaching candidate?
I don't know that that would be his next step. It was interesting because his name was tossed about. Florida State took a look at him in the offseason last year as a D coordinator. Texas A&M, when they were looking for a guy, had some interest, but I didn't expect Jim to go to either of those jobs. He's very comfortable. He and his family built a home in the Madison area. I could see the NFL calling for Jim as a probably starting out as a secondary coach and then moving into a coordinator. I'm not sure if that's the next transition he would like to make. I will say this, though. I don't know how long Paul Chryst is going to coach at Wisconsin. He's healthy. He's loving it. His family's back home. Everything's great for him. But if he were to decide in a couple of years to leave, I could see Jim Leonard taking over the program and making a very smooth transition. He's bright, smart, you know, from a football perspective. The kids love him. He has the NFL resume that really resonates with recruits. I could see him taking over the program one day. But, you know, that's down the road. Who knows how those things are going to work out.
Jeff Patricus, we appreciate the time, and we'll see you in Iowa City September 22nd, Badgers Big Ten opener with the Hawkeyes.
It's going to be a night game, but try not to make it too late, okay, for us print guys on deadline. We'd appreciate that.
Yeah, well, nothing like a night game at Kinnick Stadium. You know that. We appreciate the time,
I
Jeff.
Know.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.